If you cannot be stronger, be smarter. Choose both your battles and your enemies with care. Know when to flee a fight to win a war.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that kind of brings the best of the best of book talk and the worst of the worst of book talk. And we tell you whether or not you should take the time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. And we are back with another book talk romantasy selection that's been getting some good traction. There's actually three books out in this four book series, but we are doing Spark of the Everflame by Penn Cole. This is an epic fantasy in a totally new world. There are fae. There are some other creatures, but not many. And it's really focused on the politics between the rich fae people and the poor humans. And it all stems from a sort of religious system where these they call them the kindred. They're like gods, came to the land and gave up their immortality to be with human lovers, and that created the race of the descended, the fae. So the main character is a poor human who is trying to fight the injustice of it all and kind of gets like pulled into the world of the descended. The magic system is very unique and the world is very unique. Yeah, that's where our adventure starts.
Yes. Do you guys have reviews?
I have three of them. So I'm pulling a Casey.
Yeah. And
the 1-star reviews on Goodreads for this book were frickin' hilarious. So these three were literally back to back to back, and they're just chef's kiss. So they're all like one sentence, and it's 1-star reviews, and it's, "I'm never trusting book talk again. Special thanks to this book because I always thought of myself as an insomniac, but every time I picked it up, I doze off. And I cannot believe someone looked me in the eye and recommended this book to me."
Damn.
I was talking to a girl I met at a party the other day about fantasy books. I was like, "Oh, well, I recently read Spark of the Everflame," and she like looked it up. I think she's read all three, and she was like, "Oh." I was like, "Oh, okay, sorry." Okay. I have two reviews. First, a 4-star. "This was a brilliant start to a series. The magic system, the politics, the characters. I am eating it up. There was obviously considerable world building and it was slow to start, but this is absolutely the makings of an epic fantasy. The last 30% really made it for me." And then I have a 2-star. "The world is interesting, but it feels like a mishmash of overdone fantasy tropes. Strong, independent woman, brooding hulk of a man she hates but really loves. The surprise at the end was not a surprise. At this point, I'm just hate reading." Still 2 stars, though.
Yeah, hey. Yeah.
It's pretty good for a hate read.
It is. Okay, I also have a 2-star review. I only have one, but it's long. And
I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going to read the whole thing. So that's why I only went for one. Okay. "A young woman whose moral compass is as unpredictable as a weather vane in a storm joins a secret club for cool people. The purpose of this club may or may not be to commit mass genocide. I'm not sure because I had no idea what the hell was going on throughout the book, except that DM was able to stab people." DM's the main character. "DM was able to stab people and no one really tried to stop her. If you're concerned that this is straying too far from every other romantasy novel ever, fear not. There is a simpy, mysterious man with a facial scar. DM, while stunningly stupid, is somehow both obnoxious and bland. I didn't know that that was possible, and frankly, I'm kind of impressed. If this book became interesting or sensical in the last 60 pages, I didn't notice, because I was skimming it like a flat stone skipping over the water. Will DM harness the beast within? Will her mother be found? Will she pick her poor sap lifelong friend or scar guy? Who cares? I just hope she makes one good decision at some point before she dies."
Damn.
That was savage.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing made me laugh. I thought it was like a very humored, bad review. So
I love when that's people's talent.
Yeah.
Like, they know how to, like, just dig into a book in the worst possible way.
Oh, yeah. Like,
thank you for entertaining me when I'm reading bad reviews about a book.
Yeah.
It's an art.
Well, despite the low reviews we all read today, the overall Goodreads rating is 4.2 out of 5, and the overall Amazon rating is 4.4 out of 5. Where did you guys come down?
I gave it 3 stars. It's a good book. I enjoyed the magic system, and I thoroughly enjoyed the world. I thought that was very unique, very interesting. The main character got on my nerves sometimes, because I agree, she makes some stupid-ass decisions, and she's very ignorant, like, extremely sheltered and ignorant. And I'm like, girl, you cannot be this oblivious to things. It felt very Katniss Everdeen, and I was like, no. But love the world's building. I liked the magic system. And I continued reading on in the series. So it obviously, it got its hooks in me somehow. So I had to give it at least like a solid rating.
I actually gave it 4 stars. You know, my fantasy equation, and this hit it pretty close. Yes, the main character was not my favorite. It was a little slow in the beginning, but I love a really unique world with a matching magic system. And there was like a political side to the story. So as long as you can like do that all right, and then you do like, you know, have a shadow daddy and a rebellious female, and I'm pretty much all in.
Well, I think my rating is going to shock you guys. I gave it 3.5 stars.
Wow.
So I'm in the middle of the YouTube. I know.
I was like, she might like this, but she probably will actually hate it.
I thought you would hate it.
So I want to say, like, I'm not sure I would have liked this book as much as I did if it didn't come at this point. I have personally been very disappointed by the last several romantasy books I've read, from When the Moon Hatched to Onyx Storm. I felt like those books were trying to play 4D chess and they weren't even playing regular chess. And this book was playing regular chess, but it played regular chess well. And I feel like this is the first time in a while I've read romantasy that was just a good fucking story. It's an interesting world, an interesting magic system. Yes, it's a basic romantasy, which is, you know, why it's not higher than 3.5 stars. But for a romantasy book, I thought it accomplished its goals. It was interesting. Yes, the main character is obnoxious, and the way she behaves is absolutely insane at some points.
That seems to be the trend.
Yes.
I hate it.
It's so annoying. But I thought all the characters were super well fleshed out. Like, in general, I thought this was really well done. It just didn't reinvent the genre. So I gave it 3.5 stars.
I will say that is a good point. Even the minor characters were really fleshed out.
Yes. Like, every character in the book, I understood who they were. And I actually thought they were very 3D.
And they all had depth. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Onyx Storm, there's 30 characters. I don't even know who 2 of them are. So, yeah, I gave it 3.5 stars. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yay.
It's an enjoyable read.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about our questions then. To start, do you think this book was more plot or character driven?
Interestingly, you can make an argument for both.
I agree.
There's not a lot of plot.
Which is normally not the case in a romantasy book.
Yeah. Okay. The series itself, very plot driven, because I've read on in the series. This book, very world building character driven, because not a lot happens until the last 25% of the book.
Yes. The plot is really that the main character has been lied to about something about herself. And she kind of has to discover that thing about herself, but she's very much in denial about it. And it's obvious, like, it's not like a real twist, but
no,
so obvious.
Most of the book is like her discovering herself and coming to terms with it. So it's actually very
figuring out who to trust.
Right. Because I don't think it's a spoiler to say her mom disappears, and it happens very early.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the book is like her figuring out what to do and like trying to figure out what happened with her mom and then answer these questions about herself. So, yeah, this book is actually very, very character-y. though DM yep. really makes it as hard as possible.
Yes. Because I wouldn't even say she has that much character development in this book.
No, but all the other characters do. At the very end. Also, I don't know if I didn't say this.
Yeah.
This will probably also shock you guys. I have already finished book two as well.
Oh, my God.
I was so, like, obsessed with the story that I had to read on. And I read the second book in, like, 2 days.
And it was still only 3.5 for you?
Yes. So that's what I'm saying is, like, the books aren't life-changing. To be higher than a 3.5, I feel like you have to break the genre a little more for me personally. But they're enjoyable books, like, and they're well thought out. Like, every book, this is what I've been asking for in all these other fantasy books. Every book has a legitimate character story arc that plays into the larger arc very well. And it keeps pushing the story forward and, like, leaves you at a place where you still want to know what's going to happen, even if the book is, like, not that unpredictable. So I'm in it. Like, this book has its hooks in me. It's basic. She's a basic bitch. But she's doing the basic shit well. So I'm here. I'm sat.
I never thought Casey and I would be on the exact same page for a romantasy series. Like, we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
I'm, like, a little unsettled at the moment.
The book
Your
series,
world is blown up.
Yeah. The book series I would compare it to is A Broken Blade, which I also thought was pretty basic, but also super well done. So, like, I liked that.
And, like,
well.
Very much a commentary on...
Right.
Cultural separations.
Right. Segregation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that was going to be my book recommendation. So don't steal it. Anyway, I don't even remember how we got onto that topic, but.
Well, that leads us into our next question. Abby, where would you read other books by the author?
Yes. We've all admitted yes.
I haven't, but I'm done with book three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is we've all continued on.
Oh, I thought
series.
You meant admitted it. And I was like, I haven't said it. Yeah.
I am about 200 pages into book three right now. So
I'm 700
book three
pages
is also
into
like
book
a
three.
1,000 pages
it's
on Kindle.
So long. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm 66% in, which is about 750 something pages.
I will say.
That's a little much, I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you all want my take, book two, also 4 stars for me. Book three, I gave 5 stars. So much shit happens in that book. It's crazy.
It's a little slow, though. You can't.
It's long. It's too long.
Yeah.
But, and for the first time at the end of book three, I was surprised.
Wow.
I haven't gotten there, so.
It finally surprised me, so.
Well, since we're talking about it, I was also a 3.5 for book two. I had very similar commentary.
Yeah.
It's very political. Yeah, which I loved. But yeah. But one of my big things I was going to say in this episode is book one and two are both not super long, but like not short. Like I think book two is like 600 or 700 pages.
Yeah.
First series again, I've read in a long time that I thought that actually needed that many pages. So
yes, I agree.
I don't think book three needed that many pages.
No, I'm already, yeah.
Not done with that one yet, so we'll see.
The pacing of book three took a downturn.
It all comes together, though, and I was like, oh, okay. I see why you had to say so many things.
Yeah.
Okay. So, obviously, we all read on in the series and would read more books by the author. What about the pacing? How long did it take you guys to read it?
I read it in, like, 2 days. Not saying that means the pacing's great, but you know when I get into a romantasy that I love, like, I'm not putting it down. The first 50%, if not a little more, is pretty slow because it's all world building. However, I don't care. I like a complicated world, so didn't stop me.
It took me 2 days. I'm just trying to remember if I read it in one or two. I read it in two, and then I immediately picked up book two because it's on Kindle Unlimited, and we love that.
Yes, it's free if you have Kindle. I was very similar. I think it took me 3 days to read it.
When's the last time Casey spent so little time on a fantasy?
I know.
That's crazy.
Every romantasy lately has been taking me over a week.
We should just end the episode right here. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This book really cured. I feel like I was just in like a love of fantasy drought where I hadn't had a book in a long time that like re-inspired that love. And this book gave me that like page turning feeling where I was really invested and I liked it.
That's all the review we need. That's so lovely. But also, we read this in the midst of like intermezzo and Onyx Storm, and I was in such a reading slump from those.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. I was halfway through book three when I had to put it down and do those two, and I was like, I just want to go back to Spark of the Everflame.
I think I read this during intermezzo, but like, and finished it before I finished intermezzo, and that's why I probably enjoyed it more.
Yeah. So I thought the pacing was pretty good. Very similar to Caitlin. I always felt like the first half of the book is mostly world building, but I always felt like there was enough happening that I wasn't bored. So yeah, I enjoyed it. Would you guys watch a movie or TV show of the book?
No, I don't think you can do this well.
I would love if someone could visualize this world for me, but I agree it would be too expensive. Yeah.
I fear that it would give cringy fantasy series where everything would look kind of cheap and the actors aren't really that great. So I'm kind of with you guys. I just think it would be really hard to visualize and make not bad.
I also like, it's one of those books where I'm kind of attached to the picture I have in my head. Yeah. Like, I'd love to see someone try, but also like, you know how like you have this love. I was thinking about Harry Potter. Like, I had this world in my head. And then the movies came out, and now all I see when I read them is Daniel Radcliffe. And I'm like, dang it.
Yeah, true. Okay. What about Busy Girl rating?
I think I'm going to up my star rating and give it a 4. Because I legitimately think it's an extremely easy read. And I think if you enjoy fantasy, it's probably going to be a 5, honestly. Because like, if you enjoy world building and you enjoy character development and you enjoy like the politics of fantasy and kind of like the cultural messages, you'll really enjoy this book and you'll devour it and you'll want to continue on with the series. If you don't really enjoy fantasy, that's why I'm kind of putting it at a 4, because I think this is a good book to like give to your non-fantasy reader friends, because they might enjoy how the world shapes up.
Yeah, like the fae part isn't super overwhelming.
No.
I actually would give it a 5. I gave it a 4 quality. If you're reading this, you probably like fantasy. It's a 5. It's an easy, despite like us saying it's many hundred pages, like it never felt like work. It was an easy read without it being too simple. And yeah, if you like fantasy.
Yeah. I agree with you saying it was an easy read without being too simple. I feel like that really resonates with like my reading experience. I'm going to stick with a 4, like Catherine. It's still a little too genre for me. Like, I think that just does make it like very like fantasy girl, right? Like, I would recommend it to my friends who love fantasy, but I don't think I would recommend it to someone who doesn't like fantasy. So I'm going to stick with a 4. It's still kind of long, but actually, what was inconvenient for me during my when I was reading it is I wanted to keep reading it instead of doing my work, which was very inconvenient. So yeah, I give it a 4.
Solid.
All right.
Well.
Spoiler alert. Woo. Yeah, go back and read the book. I have shocked the world with my first positive fantasy review in probably weeks and weeks. So you should totally check it out and go read it, and then come back and we're going to discuss.
All right. Let's jump in here. We already kind of talked about pacing, but it's probably good to also bring up in this section so we can bring in a little bit of the spoilers along with the pacing. Was it too much world building for the plot points that we got?
Okay. This is why it's kind of a lower star rating for me. And I really resonated with something Casey said in like past episodes, that the art of writing one book has completely been lost in the fantasy world. And I think that's what made this book less enjoyable, because not much happens. And I finished the book and I was confused, because I was like, yeah, you end on a cliffhanger and we all saw it coming, that DM was a descended and now she has like this crown and she's now queen of this nation that she doesn't understand. And probably she is very not ready for that life. And I was kind of like left wanting, where I'm just like, she just did her daily activities and was just like, I'm going to do healing now and I'm going to learn more about my past. And now I'm suddenly queen. And that's it. And I was like, I think we've missed plot here. Like, I think there's not enough plot for this to be totally like a 5-star great read. So that's why I kind of wanted to include this question. It's like, what did y'all think about specifically how it panned out in the sense of like, could this be a standalone book?
So I wasn't actually mad because I think what we got from the world building was also her hatred and misunderstanding of the Descended. And then she slowly is starting to understand them as she experiences more of the world and realize that not all humans are good people either. And I think that that came with the world building. It was really important for the cliffhanger of her becoming the queen of Lumnos, because that makes it all the more complicated. So I wasn't mad about how much world building there was. I also just really liked the world. So, and I was like, ooh, we need to go to other countries. I don't know what you call them. Other kingdoms.
Realms. Yeah.
Realms. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I need to see everything else. This is so good. Yeah, I think it just, the world building was also building up the complexity of her situation.
Yeah, I do think this book reminds me a lot of Throne of Glass. Because I feel like the first book in Throne of Glass is sort of like this, where you can just feel that it's like more of a setup book, just like introducing the world and the characters to you, than it is like a strong plot in and of itself, which is also one of the reasons why it's only 3.5 stars for me and not higher. And
similarly, only a small portion of the world.
Yes. Right.
Same thing with Crown of the Night.
Right. But like, I'm personally happy to read world building as long as I feel like there's like some stuff going on and the world building is interesting. I think this book would have been a massive failure if the secondary characters were not as interesting as they were, because that really floats the plotlessness of it, I think. So I was interested enough that I wasn't mad that it was plotless, but I do admit that, like, you know, I think a 5-star book has more of a plot than this book has. You know, there's a reason none of us gave it 5 stars. Also, too much time of DM just being so wildly in denial. I was like, bro, that was the part, like 2/3 of the way through the book, I was like, girl.
The author is a woman, but I legitimately tried to look up to see if like the author was a man, because she felt so ignorant for a woman. Like most women, they have a gut and an intuition where they say like something right here, or like,
yeah.
She felt like she was too along for the ride for everyone else to like drive her life for her. And I was like, girl, you need to like get out of your own head and see like what's right in front of you. And you need to figure out your shit.
Every fantasy series that's popular has the same female. When you look at Feyre and Akatar.
I know.
And it's frustrating.
When you look at Bryce in Crescent City.
Yes.
When you look at Katniss, like you said. Like,
they're starting to push it too far, though. Yeah. They are.
I felt that it's at least Bryce was complicated.
Yeah.
At least Bryce, like, she had a mastermind plan. DM does not feel very mastermind plan to me. Or Aelin or Selena. Like those kind of things you need to be smarter than this.
It does feel like she just has no sense of self-preservation.
I wouldn't have a master plan in her situation either.
Yeah, but I would stay quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did sort of, the other thing that has been bothering me a lot, which this bothered me in that like Nordic one with Freya, was just like
Inked in Blood.
There we go. Yeah, that one. Was just a female character with so much irrational rage that I was like, okay, no one human being is this angry all the time.
She's not a human being.
Yeah, well, there we go. But I ended up not minding it in this book just because I could tell it had to do with magic, which plays into book 2, and you kind of get an explanation for it. So I was able to stomach it in this book, but I was like, we're right on the line between being too annoying or on it.
Yeah. And that kind of brings us into like, what did you think of DM and what did you think of our female main character and like her perceptions of the world? Because I will say I gave her a pass because it did feel like it was almost something inside her and in her that was making her so rageful and so angry. And it was a built up of power that she had never released. And her mom was drugging her to keep her power down, which is very fucked up. Yeah. I know it was to protect her and I get it, but the idea that you would drug your own kid and not tell her the truth and then disappear on her is really messed up. Like, that's not very motherly. And I do, it made me understand her a lot more, and I understood her rage because she is a descended with immense power, obviously, because she's the most powerful in the realm is what we find out, because that's who gets the crown, is whoever the crown deems the most powerful. And she's obviously the most powerful, but she's never used that power except for in dire situations. So she obviously has a lot of pent up energy.
I'll just reiterate too, like, as the story goes and the world's building, she, her worldview is expanding because her mother has left her and isn't telling her what to believe. I would be incredibly frustrated too. And she doesn't know where to take out that frustration because it should be on her mom, but her mom's not there. So she tries the guardian thing. She's meeting the descendant at the castle. And so, like, I wasn't mad. Like, she's still not the best character, but I understood she's confused and angry and she didn't know where to place that. So along with the pent up power, she's just kind of a grumpy lady.
Right. And I think that's why it didn't knock it down farther in this book for me, is because I actually did think the author did a good job of contrasting Diem's rage with, like, legitimate reasons that felt like, okay, I can forgive this a little bit because of these things. The thing I ended up really liking about Diem was the fact that she was a healer. And I liked how that made her feel conflicted about violence. And this is, like, a huge theme in the book series in general, is like, when is violence truly necessary? And so that's just like a dynamic within her that I thought was actually sort of unique, is feeling like a moral obligation to help people and not hurt them, instead of just being like, you know, violence is the answer.
And she regrets decisions she makes.
Yeah, yes. As she should, though.
she makes very uninformed decisions.
This was wrong and learns from them. So I will give her that.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Yeah. I also try to remember that she is 20, and it can be very frustrating to read a 20-year-old main character. However, I do think that some of the choices she makes are realistic for a 20-year-old, especially one that has been deliberately lied to and sheltered by her parents.
Her path in life was chosen by others for her.
Yeah, the whole book. Leading up to the twist. Which,
right. She had to make decisions now, which she's never got to do before.
Right. And she struggles. Because also she has to make decisions completely removed from the people she loves.
Yeah.
Even in this book, because she can't tell her dad that she's not taking the flame route. You know, her brother is in the middle of grief and she doesn't want to distract him. Her mom is gone. So her support system, the people that she could normally talk to about this, aren't there.
And Henry's sketch.
And yeah, you can tell immediately that Henry is not the one.
Oh my God.
Her commitment to him is insane.
We need to talk about it.
Oh, it's so annoying.
So this Henry kind of fits into this idea of this mortal versus descended conflict. He obviously brings her into the Guardians. And this is why, another reason why I kind of wanted, like, it makes sense that the author is a woman, because any woman would walk into that guardian's room and see an all-male leadership board and see how enthused they were about violence to know that this is going nowhere. All you're going to do is get yourself killed and get your entire plan set back 50 years, the entire mortals set back 50 years. I immediately was like, oh, so they're stupid. Like, they're just going to be idiots about this.
We're not trusting her with the whole truth of what she was doing, which bit her in the butt in the end. And that was very upsetting.
Though, if I was a woman walking into that room, I'd see, okay, no female leaders. Great. We're leaving this immediately because y'all don't know shit.
Right. But she trusted Henry. This is the one character point that I'm like, okay, that was a little bad, is how much she trusted Henry when he was clearly a shady SOB. Like, he was not telling her the truth. He knows something about her mom, and he is not sharing it. And she can't see that, but you're reading it like, don't trust him. Come on.
This was the point that was also incredibly frustrating, was just that, like, her just like need to keep him. And again, the reason it did not knock the book down more to me is because I understood her reasons for clinging to Henry. And I actually thought that they were
PETA in The Hunger Games.
Yes. And I actually thought that they were good reasons, you know, to cling to him. But her decision making when it came to Henry was like absolutely insane and terrible. And the things she does are so deeply cringy and obvious that I'm like, DM, stop.
Yeah. You could tell she didn't love him and she desperately wanted to cling to like this mortal past life and like go back in time. And because you're supposed to feel sorry for him because she obviously isn't in love with him and he wants to marry her. But it felt more like he wanted to control her. And he obviously wasn't telling her jack shit about herself and her mother and his part of a terrorist group. And you could tell how angry he was. And I was like, that's a red flag. We're already into some fucked up shit territory. And so I never felt sorry for him because I was like, you are taking advantage of a warm body. Essentially, you are just in this for you want a docile woman wife. Yeah. Like you. He's like, but what
until
I hate
she
most
discovered
men.
Stuff her mom was hiding. She was that wife.
Yeah.
Like that was written as their future.
She was supposed to be that wife, but she didn't really want to be that wife.
No.
And she was sort of struggling with where to go with that. And I will say, I don't think we were supposed to feel bad for Henry because I think there were like quite a few warning signs about him. Like he also devalued and didn't really respect her healing. He was clearly lying to her and he also just like, he wanted her to be around for him, but he wasn't around for her. So I think that from the beginning, we were supposed to get the point that like Henry was like not a great person, but it was hard to read.
It was a really good, like real life scenario that sometimes the people who are closest to you in your life and always have been, you will differ ideologically in the future. And that is really hard to come to terms with.
He was just a follower, right? Like for all DM's flaws, like she did really, really care about like the impact of her actions and thinking through her role in the world and if she was hurting people or not. And Henry was just a follower, like very easily led.
He was also angry because of his mom.
Yeah. Who also had been very hurt by the Descended. Anyway. That does sort of
all the characters are complex.
Yeah, they are, because you also get why he's like that, even though you don't like him for DM. But this does cue up the next question, which is, what did you think of the mortal versus descended conflict and how segregated their two worlds were?
It's never a good sign whenever you never get to see another person that's different from you. Like when you segregate people, it's so easy to just hate the other because you don't actually interact with the human in the other. So you can basically just say like, oh, they're not human. So therefore I can hate them. And that's kind of what happened between the two species in Lumos. And you could tell it's a lot worse in many other places because they talk about like humans aren't allowed in other places. And they were basically genocided out of the area. So you can feel for the humans and why they have to turn to the Guardians, because they're the only people that are actually fighting for them. And
they
that's
have the
unfortunate
advantage of not having magic. So the Descended already have an advantage on top of having all the wealth and access to everything. I love it though. I love this political conflict.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I do love it, too, which we see the first beginnings of it in this book. But it was like the separation was not just to keep mortals oppressed. It was to stop good-hearted descended from helping mortals and feeling bad for mortals. Like
they didn't know what was happening.
Right. It worked both ways, where then, you know, Catherine, like you said, each side only heard the worst of each other. But that didn't just keep descended away, it stopped Ascended, who would have wanted to do better, from doing better.
Yeah. The same thing in every fantasy book. The people who keep the knowledge keep the power.
Right.
And it's also to stop them from procreating, because they were deeply afraid of losing power by procreating with mortals, which actually turns it out and bites them in the ass, because the half mortals are more powerful than them.
The most powerful in the realm is DM, and she's half mortal. On that note, we meet Luther and Lily, who are siblings. Luther is the prince, and he's the Scarface baddie that has all this chemistry with DM and is drawn to her. What did you guys think of those two?
I mean, it's so obvious that it's teeing it up for Fated Mate. Like, fucking obvious.
He's like pulling her out of the fire, and I'm like, Fated Mates.
The vision. Mates. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The I can feel your magic. I was like, okay.
I was like, ooh, dirty. You can feel his magic.
I do think I am getting tired of Fated Mates. At this point, SJM just like diffused that like a bomb across the entire fantasy genre. And now I can't even remember the last time I read a romantasy that didn't have Fated Mates.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
The other thing drives me nuts a little bit. This book series is the slowest slow burn ever.
Oh my God. Yes.
Like I would call it YA at this point.
Yes.
I was going to say, I feel like this book is one of those YAs that's actually, I don't know if it's technically classified that way, but it feels like it is. Oh, God. But it feels like it's actually...
There's a sex scene in this book. It's just between her and Henry, though.
That's true. It's just... And there are other scenes that happen in the series. It's still the slowest slow burn ever.
It takes
forever to satisfy.
But I did very much enjoy their makeout scene at the end of this book. Oh, it was so spicy.
The tension. Ooh.
Oh my gosh. It was like cut you with a knife tense.
In the garden.
So, and then she walked away. I was like,
I couldn't even believe it. Oh God. It was devastating. So this author does a great job, I think, of queuing up your emotions and kind of creating that romantic tension, which I appreciate. Because I am personally very pro no relationship till book two. I like it when book one is spent getting to know each other. I think it makes things feel a little bit less insta-love.
Yes. And I think you'll be happy.
This slow burn is really slow.
Yes. I do think they actually learn more about each other before they actually jump into anything. I mean, like, I don't think it's a spoiler to say, like, it's pretty obvious that the two of them will end up together. It's romantasy. But they do learn pretty much everything about each other before they jump into each other's arms, which is smart.
And they are so interesting because they are both, well, not as much both of them. She has no idea what's going on in the other half of the world. He has a little bit more idea. But they're both learning about each other and, like, tearing down their biases. And they have to do that before they can fall in love. Yeah. So that was really authentic to write it that way. And I appreciate that.
And also,
which brings us to the question about, how do you like Luther and Lily?
I loved Luther. I mean, he's kind of a classic shadow daddy, but...
Shadow daddy cinnamon roll.
Yes, shadow daddy cinnamon roll, which I always like it. Lily, I liked too. I am not going to lie. Them queuing up a relationship between both sibling pairs does give me the ick.
Yeah.
But I thought they were both good characters.
Except one can work and one never can, so...
Yeah. Well, we know which one will be the one that works, so...
Well, I mean, one can not work as it currently stands with the political system in place, but now DM's got a crown, so she may be able to dismantle that entire
system. There's also the issue of lifespan, though, so...
Yeah, that's true.
That's super depressing, actually.
Yeah.
I like Lily because she is Luther's soft spot, and because of her friendship with DM's brother, she's the gateway into like Luther's soft side. And I love a good sibling writing, and both DM and Luther have very good sibling relationships.
Yeah, Teller and Lily are very like good sibling characters, and they obviously had a lot of love for their sibling, but there's also moments of tension between them, with like most siblings have. And I think that they are very well written, deep characters as well, because they have different life experiences, as Lily is a female in descended culture, which comes with a lot of prejudices and like patriarchal standards. And then Teller is going to descended school and is kind of getting to learn the other side of like teenage angst from descended, and the teenagers are kind of assholes. Shocker. So he gets you get that insight through him.
Yes, I like that as well. I also like that the different treatment of DM and her brother is very perplexing, and we obviously understand that the root of it is basically that DM is descended and he's not, but it's also like very interesting how much more he knows about the descended than DM does, like her ignorance and the extent to which her parents, her mom, really has blocked her from knowing about them is really
which
staggering.
Only makes her mom seem shadier that it Teller's does, yeah. going to school with them and DM can't know anything about them.
Can't touch yeah. them.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And I think that does set up, like, kind of skipping ahead to this question, like DM's mysterious mother. You leave book one like very intrigued by who she is, like, and what the hell is going on with her, and that really like does not stop well into book three. Like, she's a woman with secrets, and so I like them queuing up the kind of tension of what is her mom's role in this and like her motivations, because it seems very complicated.
Well, and she spends the whole book thinking finding her mom will fix everything, and then realizing finding her mom will only create more questions. So she has to like reckon with the person she thinks is going to fix everything is really not.
Yeah. And actually, she has some very difficult questions for this person to answer.
And her mom was not really the mother she thought she was, and is not yeah. the person she thought she was. She was getting like a fantasy version of her mother.
Yeah. And it's really hard to grieve someone when you love them, but you're also realizing they kept many things from you.
And I think it's hard to like grieve someone that you don't know is alive or dead. Like, yeah. I mean, those yeah. moments where it's just a mystery where you can't get any closure whatsoever is probably the most devastating relationships. And I think that's done very well in this book, where it's just like a lot of unanswered questions and she's not here to tell us, and we don't know if she's alive or dead.
Right. Well, the final question is about DM and the ending where she is, you know, becomes the crown of Lumnos, whatever it is. And I will say personally, I loved the ending of this book. I think I would have given this book, oh, sorry, my dog Peaches is trying to come say hello. I think I would have given this book a flat 3 stars if not for the ending. But I loved the ending scene where the crown, like, I don't even know how to describe it, appears and sort of like, it's almost
a halo.
Yeah, halos.
While she's
her.
Like trying to find a thing to remove the power she suspects she has. Yeah. It's like, psych, you can't.
And in a swamp.
Yeah. And like, it's so, I thought that scene was very well written and like dramatic, and it felt very climactic, and it's everything I would have wanted it to be. And so I loved that scene.
My favorite part is that Teller is with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, her brother. Oh, he's like, it's okay, we'll figure it out.
Like, he's so willing to help her. And it's just, it tees right into book two, because it like literally picks up right where we leave off. And it's just so funny, Teller just trying to be like, I mean, we'll figure it out, we can hide you. And it's like, really? You can hide that there's a floating crown object on her head?
Yeah. Very interesting. So obviously we've all already continued on with this series. but yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I added that question because I was going to ask Casey that, because I knew Caitlin had already finished all of them and I was on book three. So I was like, I bet Casey says no. But obviously you're on book three too. Yeah, so
I'm already in book three. Loving
it. Like you said, these were refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally new magic system, totally new land. Same old tropes, but that's all of romantasy.
Right. It felt like a palate cleanser that I really, really needed.
I think this series, the politics is what mm-hmm. puts it above many other romantasy series. Like, this is the truly invested into the class warfare and the race riots and warfare of it all, which I think elevates.
Yes. And it does not rush it. It lets everything take its time. It lets you learn how things work.
Yeah. We might also like it because of, you know, the current political climate. That's okay to learn new things and change your mind.
Yes.
Sure. And, we probably all liked it because of the timing of reading it.
Right.
You're not wrong.
And it does provide that, like, escape, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When things are stressful and overwhelming, I know we're all doing a lot of work. So it's nice to have a little escape hatch at this moment.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the great things about fantasy series is escapism and reading about another world and its struggles, and it's not your current world and your current struggles, is kind of what a lot of people do for reading when they are young professionals. Is I read to escape. I do not read to learn a ton of things or feel like, shitty.
Let's be honest, if your favorite genre is fantasy, what SSRI are you on?
Me?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that brings us to the end into book recommendations. I already mentioned earlier, so I'll say it again. My recommendation is A Broken Blade, which I have a lot of similar things to say about that series. Is this series? It's a basic fantasy, a lot of familiar tropes, but really well done for what it is. And I enjoyed that series.
I'm going to recommend a book I just read called Quicksilver, which is very popular on BookTok, but it has very similar tropes and a mortal woman who has some mysterious past and some mysterious power. And it kind of just follows her and her shadow daddy across into a different world. So it's a pretty similar book. And I will say, reading that one after this one, I was like, yeah, fantasy really is leaning into the shadow daddy thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, while we're on shadow daddies, I'm going to pull a Casey and recommend Serpent in the Wings of Night.
Yeah.
When you're talking about race, politics, class conflicts in the fantasy realm, pretty perfect.
Right. All right. Well, these are just our opinions. Would love to hear yours. You guys can join in conversation with us pretty much everywhere online at Busy Girls Pod. We'd also love more book recommendations. I think one of our readers recommended Spark of the Everflame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Hope you enjoyed this episode, dear reader. And if you have a book you want us to read, we will do it for you as well.
Give us more books to escape with. let us know how you escape, and we'd like to read it with you. And so that's it for this week. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening, and when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.